Welcome to A Cup of Comfort with me, Trish Laub. This show is about care hero topics that nobody wants to talk about. Perhaps you tended to a younger sibling's cut finger or babysat a neighbor's child. Maybe you were thrown into the fire and became a care hero during a medical crisis. You may care for a parent, spouse, sibling, a child, or a friend, but the challenges are the same. Getting the tools you need to navigate the maze of unfamiliar options can be overwhelming. I know, I have been there. I didn't even know what I didn't know. I am here to help you with all of it. No care hero topic is off limits. I'm here to share with you concise, actionable information, as well as my fresh perspective about Alzheimer's and providing dignified care through the end of life for anyone with a life-altering diagnosis. So grab a cup of your favorite beverage, sit back, and let me help you on your care hero journey. We will talk and share, we may laugh, and we may share a tear or two, and we will always share a cup of comfort. Hi, everybody. I'm Trish Laub, and welcome to A Cup of Comfort with me. This is about you, the care hero, and this is the place where we talk about all topics related to care heroes. Whether you're new to the show today or have listened to some of the shows, I encourage you to visit the Care Hero radio page of my website, trishlaub.com. That's trishlaub.com. I've already covered many important care hero topics. So recently I met an extraordinary man who for me not only exemplifies a care hero, but also sets the bar for providing care. Before I get into his story and introduce him, I want to take the opportunity to talk about something that many listeners may not realize. My guest is one of the truly unsung care heroes. You see, according to the National Alliance of Caregivers, of the estimated 53 million family care heroes in the United States, 40% are men. Yep, you heard me right. And that number has doubled in only the last 15 years. Did you have any idea how many care heroes are men? I didn't. And here's a fact that surprised me. Of employed men over 50, over 50% are care heroes. Wow. With the prevalent perception that most care heroes are women, care heroes who are men are often truly unsung. Now, my guest has quite a story to share as he has risen from the trenches of providing the deepest level of care for his wife. He could certainly talk to you about all the nitty-gritty details of providing dignified care through the end of life, because he has been through it all. But that's not what he's here to share with you today. He's someone who had the ability to be deep in the trench while observing and learning from outside the experience. It is the seven lessons that he learned through his care hero experience that are invaluable. He recently wrote a memoir of his care hero experience with his wife, Desiree, called Chasing Life, an extraordinary story of love, joy, and accomplishment against all odds, which I'm happy to say that, I lost my train of thought there. I'm excited to say that it is available on June 21st on Amazon. I was deeply honored to be asked to write a testimonial for this book. I want to share that with you now. Chasing Life tells the story of two extraordinary people who together faced one of life's greatest challenges with grace. Robert Pardee shared his journey with his wife, Desiree, Dr. Desiree Pardee, during which he was her warrior while she battled cancer. The lessons that Desiree learned from being both cancer patient and palliative care physician, and the many examples of Robert's path to resilience, are invaluable and should be shared with everyone. And if that isn't enough, this story is about much more. It is about great love. Robert and Desiree lived that love to the end, and by doing so, set not only the example, but also the bar for all of us. Born in New York City, Robert worked as a wealth fund at a wealth fund in Abu Dhabi, Dubai, and has lived in Rome and now lives in the small Italian village in the National Park of Abruzzo. After caring for his wife during a life-limiting illness, in 2014, Robert decided to leave his comfort zone working in finance to pursue what he deemed to be a more purposeful path. Throwing caution to the wind, he pursued a childhood dream to live in Italy and followed a passion born while caring for his wife to become a life coach. He now lives in the same Italian village that his great-grandfather immigrated from over 100 years ago and is a certified life coach. He is one of those rare individuals who embraces change and lives by a philosophy which he calls possibility in action, taking his desire for transformation and putting it into action daily. So while this is Robert's first time on this show, I had the pleasure of having a conversation with him when I guest hosted for the Dr. Pat show on May 3rd. So I want to welcome Robert back to Transformation Talk Radio. And Robert, it is really great to see you again.
It is fantastic to be back, and it's great to see you as well. And, you know, just hearing your testimonial gave me goosebumps again. So it took me a moment to just return back from that, because I was thrilled to death that you read it. I really appreciate that so much. The work you do, the show, everything, it's just knowing that we're connected is great. So I'm happy to be here.
So I've asked you here today to share the 7 lessons learned through your care hero journey. And I've had the privilege of hearing and reading just a little bit about your journey, but can you take a minute to help the listeners kind of catch up and get a sense of your story?
Sure. The story is actually a little unusual, because my caregiving experience was more being a surrogate for my wife than anything else, because having been an MDP in the MD PhD program when she was diagnosed when she was 31. She asked me, because she said, look, I know enough to be dangerous to myself. Can you handle everything about my medical treatment? So she really never knew the names of her chemotherapy. It wasn't until many, many years later that she knew how many lymph nodes were involved. She never knew the size of the tumor. And I sort of lived as if I were someone that had cancer, so I could make the right decisions for her. So the caregiver journey was, let's say, amped up a notch because of the fact that it was something that I could do for her. She battled amazingly for 11 years. She became the founding director of palliative care at New York Weill Cornell. While she had metastatic breast cancer. And unfortunately in 2009, her body just couldn't handle one more treatment. And we never really spoke about death, because we were very focused on life. And she just turned to me one day. She was in the hospital, and I would always be in the bed. When she was getting chemo, I was in the chair. When she was in the hospital, I was in the bed. So I was in the bed with her, and she just held my hand and she squeezed it, which was communication for us. And I looked at her and she said, Robert, I'm tired. And I said, okay, baby, rest. And I knew she was signaling to me to make the transition from life-sustaining to comfort care. And within the course of hours, she fell into a coma. So those were our last words, which I think those were very poignant for us as well, because we lived up until the last moment. Without the goodbye, in a way, it was just life up until that very last second. And so that's the caregiver perspective I come from.
And I think that's one of the many things about your story that is... I'm not sure unusual is the right, but maybe extraordinary. You really did have a lot of other elements to your experience that a lot of the rest of us don't have. That assuming that role of surrogate was extraordinary. Well, so your 7 lessons you've learned.
Sure. And actually what I'd like to say is, you know, to all the caregivers that are listening, it's My story, your story is just as powerful as my story. This is not something that should ever be compared, because it's impossible to compare, because we're all unique. We're all experiencing things in unique ways. But what I realized through my journey, these 7 lessons, they're actually life skills. And partly because I grew up in a rather difficult situation when I was a child. And I learned very early on about resilience, or about, let's say, uncertainty. And what a caregiver lives more than anything else is uncertainty. Things change moment to moment. And you have to become comfortable with that. And one of the ways you become comfortable with that is awareness and getting to know yourself and really relying on these skills. So the first skill, when I say it, everyone sort of, you know, is a little, I don't know, they feel like it's not applicable to them, but it's resilience. And resilience, we all have it because we've all been in that situation where someone says, I can't take one more thing, or maybe they throw in F, you know, I can't take, and they do, because we do reach down deep down and we find that resilience. But resilience is actually something you can practice on a daily basis, because the idea is not ever to bounce back. The idea is to take that and transform, to bounce beyond. Now, what does that mean for a caregiver? First of all, we all want to save the person we're caring for. And so that idea of transformation seems very difficult. But what it means is taking what's happened and trying to figure out how to not let it overwhelm a situation in the future. You know, it's the idea of not falling into despair, but saying, no, we've got this. What do we do next? Because resilience is all about what's next. That's really all resilience is. It's like, all right, this happened. What's next? Instead of sitting there and going, oh my, this is horrible. Everything's falling apart. So that's resilience. The next one, and as for a man, I would say it might be more difficult, is being vulnerable. And there's a word right there that I know from the masculine point of view, you hear that word and, you know, it's like jumping into a cold pool. And it's not about not being able to do things. Vulnerability is not weakness. Vulnerability is actually having the strength to say, this is so important to me, I want someone to help me. It's saying, you know what? I am not Superman. I don't know everything. The more we sit in the Superman role, the less we're able to do, because we're confronted that we don't have all those powers. And I am a big superhero fan. So if you think about it, if you lock Superman down in a well, dark well, he's going to lose his powers. He needs to be out. He needs to be in the sun. We as caregivers need to reach out for many reasons. And I think this is very general, so I'm talking from my point of view. It's very easy for a man to close down, to hide from what they don't know and not ask for help because they don't want to seem like they're not controlling everything. But actually reaching out is so important, because when you become a caregiver, and you know this, and everybody that's listening knows this, all of a sudden you've learned a different language. You know all these medical terms. There are things you can't talk to a friend necessarily about that. You need to reach out to somebody that's in a community that can understand what you're going through. The third one, again,
can I interrupt you there?
Yeah, of course.
I think that's well, I love the resilience. You know, I think people think I'm going back to the way it was and the bouncing forward bouncing beyond. But the vulnerability, I think the way you frame that is so important, because caregiving is about having a team.
Exactly.
You got to have a team. Nobody can do this alone. So I just think that is, I never really framed it as vulnerability, but that's exactly what it is. It's asking for help.
Yeah.
So, go ahead.
And the thing is, no. The thing is, we're not ready for that at the beginning. I can't speak for all caregivers. The caregivers I worked for and myself, there's a point where you're not ready to ask for help, because the moment you ask for help, the situation seems a lot bigger than you thought it was.
Yeah.
It's all of a sudden amplified and you're like, I need help. This is bad. Right. And that doesn't mean that at all. Right. That means that you're searching to make the experience and help the person as much as possible. You're actually doing a benefit reaching out.
Right.
So vulnerability for me was also, it was a tough cookie. You know, I did grow up in a situation where, you know, I was going to do it all, you know, one man show and never ask for help and never let anyone see me cry and, you know, just plow through. And that's detrimental to everybody concerned.
Right.
So the third one, I say it's moving from obligation to opportunity. And I found this to be really, really important because, you know, if you have the perspective that something bad has happened, life has done something bad, you're fighting against it. I shouldn't be doing this. It's an obligation. And a lot of times we're pretty sure what the outcome is going to be. And what I find very interesting as well is, like, my experience, Desiree did go into remission for a short period of time. I was blindsided when it came back because that was the moment I realized I couldn't control it. You know, when she went into remission, I had this God complex that, yeah, we did it. You know, I was a great caregiver. And then I realized, uh-oh, right? And I could have looked at it as an obligation. Oh, now, you know, more chemo. And I eventually had to leave work. You know, there's a lot of things. The home actually became a medical center. But once I realized, one, it was an opportunity to take care of my wife. It was an opportunity for me to express my love. It was an opportunity for not only me, but for her, for us to learn about life. And so I would say that's number three. Number four, okay, here's the big word, surrender, right? Okay.
It's right up there with vulnerability.
It's right up there with vulnerability. So, you know, I'm talking from the man's point of view. That was a tough one. It's not the white flag at all. Surrender is the biggest act of bravery anyone can do. And that is because it's when you reach that moment and you say, you know what? I can't predict. I can't really influence the final outcome. That's out of my control. I'm not a doctor. I'm not God. I can't do it. But I can control what's happening now. And what surrender allows you to do is connect to what you're doing in the moment, not tying everything onto that future goal. But what's our goals for today? What are our goals for today? And that's going to tie into the next one, which I call Chasing Life, which is the book, right? And What does that mean? Because immediately when we think of chasing life, life is supposed to be long. And if you're a caregiver, maybe you're dealing with something that maybe the person is young. Whatever the case is, we sort of think that life is just going to keep going, right? Mm-hmm. And so what it really means is you have to remove yourself from focusing on time. Life is not really measured by time. It's measured by joy. It truly is. Even as a caregiver, you can find joy between you and the person you're caring for. How can you incorporate that into your life? My wife and I had the crazy, stupid, whether it was, first of all, her watching the same episode of Friends 100 times, I mean, leave it alone, but she would laugh every time, right? So that was joyful, but we would have like colored napkins. We found play to a certain extent. So chasing life means more about chasing life in this moment. Don't let it pass you by because you're focusing on time. Number six is possibility. And what I mean by that is change is impermanence. And unfortunately, everything in our life is impermanent. But in every change, there is the possibility for something. If you let go of expectations, if you let go of attachments, and you start looking at what possibilities arrive, you know, from a caregiver point of view, it could be learning about yourself. It could be meeting somebody that's helping you. And all of a sudden, this is a person that you can confide in and your world opens up because you have that in it. It could be you and whoever you're caring for finding new things in life that you both enjoy in that moment. I mean, right before Desiree passed away, she loved the beach. And by the end, she really couldn't go. We used to like to travel a lot. We took a taxi. We went to Coney Island. We got a Nathan's hot dog. She walked to the shore. She stuck her feet in the beach. She turned around to me and she said, "Robert, I need to go home." We got back in a taxi and we went home. But you know what? her feet in that water and that smile, that was a possibility that existed, that if we weren't open to it, we wouldn't have thought about it. And the last one, because of time, if you haven't ever seen the movie Auntie Mame, it's a really old, corny movie, but there's a line that says, live, live, live. Life is a banquet and most poor suckers are starving to death. That's the quote. And that's all about abundance and gratitude. And it's so, so important. We don't want to be grateful in a lot of ways when we're caregivers because something bad has happened and we don't have what we want. But there are a lot of things that we still have. And, my wife, yes, she passed away when she was 41. I miss her every single day. But I was grateful, and I am grateful for those laughs at friends or her playing with the dog or those little tiny things. And so all of this encompasses, these skills encompass that once we start valuing the ordinary moments, we live an extraordinary life, regardless of the time aspect. Because none of us can, when we're a caregiver, all of a sudden time is thrown in our face. But none of us really know anything about time. And so all of this journey taught me that real life, and that's how I wound up being in Italy, real life is lived in the moment. And my wife and I had an enormous amount of moments, really. So for time's sake, I think I'll wrap it up there.
I appreciate how you frame this, because we think about, caregivers think about all of the to-do lists, the tasks. And I've referred in my journey with my mom and my dad that because I spent an extraordinary amount of time caring for both of them in crisis at the same time, there were moments where I saw things that I would never have seen otherwise had I not been present. I moved to where they lived and I would have gone about my life and I would have visited and all of that. But I got this great opportunity to spend this extraordinary time with them.
Yeah.
And there were these moments that they're like little, camera shots that are frozen in time. And there's so many gifts to this process. I mean, we can't change how hard or how challenging the process might be, but there's jewels all throughout that. And to frame it with, things like resilience and vulnerability, opportunity, surrender, chasing life, possibility, and life as a banquet is just such a powerful way to look at it. And if people just take the time, just a few seconds to think about that, it'll change their experience.
Thank you. Oh, you're very welcome. And I know to the caregivers that are listening to this, there probably are some people that are like, this is just, no way, it can't, but just be open to it, right? Because I was one of those people at the beginning that I would have not really resonated with some of these things, but I can tell you, having walked through it, live life while it's with you. And so you are journeying with that person. And if it's towards the end of their life, you are journeying with them and your support. You're a guide to a certain extent as well. You can't fix them. So be there.
I think what this does for me is frames it that the providing care for somebody else, being a care hero, is not a step out of your life. It's part of your life. Your life is continuing on. You've made a choice to provide care for somebody.
Yeah.
And that makes all the difference. Yeah. So you're right. We're going to have to start wrapping up here, but can you tell people how to find you and reach out to you? You've got so much to share with people.
Oh, sure. Thank you very much. The best way is to go to my website, which is robertpardi.com. I also have a little podcast on Spotify called Possibility in Action, where I sort of talk for just 3 minutes, about 3 to 5 minutes, about something that I think is important. And those are the best two ways.
Awesome. I think you have a huddle thing coming up, though, don't you?
Oh yes. Actually, to tell you the truth, there's an app called Huddle Journeys, and that is where people can go through a 7-day journey. It's based on lessons and then practice. And I'm having a class this week on next week actually on Eventbrite on leadership. And I'm launching a new journey on joy.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Well, I want to remind everybody about Robert's book that is coming out on June 21st on Amazon, Chasing Life. Check it out. I've had the great privilege of being able to read it. I highly recommend it to you. You really should check this book out. Secondly, a reminder to watch the May 3rd Dr. Pat show, because Robert talked about, we had a conversation about removing your armor to access your resilience. And I highly recommend listening to that as well. So thank you, Robert. I learned so much today. And we'll talk again soon.
Great. Oh, we'll definitely will talk again soon.
I want to remind everybody that there is a downloadable PDF on my Care Hero Radio page that I have some of the information from the seven lessons Robert learned through his Care Hero journey. I want to thank you all for listening. And if you have questions, comments, topics you want to hear, please contact me through the Care Hero Radio page. Please join me the second and fourth Tuesdays of the month at 12 Pacific and 3 Eastern. Next time on June 22nd, I'll meet you here with Megan Fuller to share her morning routine that has not only changed her life, but also the lives of those for whom she provides care. I want to take a minute to remind everyone that a cup of comfort is a safe place where we can talk about all Care Hero topics, but especially those that are uncomfortable. If you have a topic that you want us to talk about, let me know. And as always, until next time, remember that you are a care hero. Thank you for listening to A Cup of Comfort with me, Trish Laub, and for your care hero courage. Tune in next time on Transformation Talk Radio as we explore life-changing care hero topics to assist you on your journey. In the meantime, I would love to hear any tips or insights that you've taken away with you today. So head on over to trishlaub.com. That's Trish Laub, L-A-U-B as in boy, .com, and leave a comment, a question you would like answered, or a topic you'd like to hear about in the future. And while you're there, be sure to subscribe to my newsletter. So raise a cup and let's toast to all the amazing care heroes out there giving it their all. Until next time, remember that you are true heroes.